Councillors, ladies and gentlemen, please be upstanding for the Chairman of Council.
Please be seated. Unfortunately, my art chaplain is not available to be here. He had a prior appointment. So rather than prayers, I would just ask you just to reflect for a moment why we're here and who we serve. Thank you. May I welcome fellow members, ladies and gentlemen, to this meeting of the Council. Please ensure your mobile phones are switched off. Do all councillors have a copy of the agenda? Just in case anybody hasn't got the message, I'm giving notice now that I will be dealing with the agenda. Item 10 will be brought forward. That's for the benefit of the many members of the public who are here tonight. I'll now outline the emergency evacuation procedures. The major entrance is through the door you came in, and if the fire or emergency is coming from that end, you can exit this way as well. Ladies and gentlemen's toilets are on the corridor as you came out, where there's also a water cooler. Are there any apologies for absence?
Chairman, apologies for absence have been received from Councillors Akam, Hope and Jowett.
Moving on now to agenda item 10, which I brought forward. I would particularly like to welcome members of the public to the meeting. There are ladies and gentlemen at the back of the room here and also in meeting room one next door. And sound and pictures are being relayed via the camera, which is on the wall over there. So be aware that you are on camera, some of you. Also, for the benefit of the people here, I enjoyed a puppet show from the children of Moulton Primary School who are next door. I'm hoping that they're watching what we're doing now rather than entertaining the people next door. By way of introduction to you, we're your district councillors, elected every 4 years to represent everyone who lives in Rydell District. And this, we organise the services that you receive and the council provides. You're always welcome to contact us here with any issues you might have or any concern, and you're always welcome to come along to the council meetings here. And the agendas which we're looking at the moment, they are available online. I know I've had a query from next door, so they are available for inspection online, so you know what we will be discussing in future. This evening we're going to discuss the recommendations made at the Policy and Resources Committee on the 12th of June. Many of you attended that, and it was another very well-attended meeting. At the end of the debate, we will make a vote and decide what we're doing. Before we begin, I've agreed that a spokesman can make a brief verbal representation to the council for up to 3 minutes on behalf of the swimming clubs. Would the spokesperson please make these representations now? And there is a microphone, I think, over there at the table. If you would introduce yourself as well, and you've got up to 3 minutes. Thank you very much.
Hello, my name's Helen Robinson. I'm the chair of Derwent Valley Swimming Club, but today I've been nominated to speak on behalf of both Derwent and Rydell Club 2. Hopefully everybody present will have received a joint letter from the clubs setting out our comments regarding the legal position, the financial position, and the community. I don't wish to bore the public with arguments about the legal and financial positions, save to say I concur with everything said in the attachments to the letter regarding these. What I really want to address you on is the effect on the community if everyone active were permitted to take over our Learn to Swim programmes. I'm not scaremongering when I say that both clubs would cease to exist if we were to lose our programmes. We could not financially continue. What you must ask yourselves is how this would affect the community. First and foremost, it would be taking away parental choice. Everyone active would be handed the monopoly on swimming lessons in Rydale, as there would be nowhere else for parents to take their children to learn to swim without travelling out of the area. How would this be in the interests of the local community? Further, the council's actions, if supporting everyone active, would be in clear, direct contradiction to their own policies. The Rydale Sport and Active Lives Strategy 2013 to 2023 includes the encouragement of more people becoming involved as volunteers in sport, and to increase capacity within the local community through support of existing sports clubs, coaches and officials. Any action which results in two volunteer swim clubs who have been providing Learn to Swim programmes for over 40 and 50 years being forced to shut down cannot conceivably be said to be in line with either local or national policies to encourage children and young adults to engage in sport. In fact, I recently, on Tuesday of this week, received an email from Swim England in which it commented, "Here at Swim England, inclusion and accessibility is at the heart of our Towards a Nation Swimming 2017-21 strategy. Perhaps, though, most importantly, removing our Learn to Swim programmes will remove for many families the only swimming lessons they can afford for their children. Every child should learn to swim to a good standard. It is not just an activity, it is a life skill. At our clubs, we teach children not only to swim, but to love swimming. There is no way of measuring how many lives have been saved by our local clubs providing affordable lessons to local children. If these lessons are removed, how long will it be before a child whose parents cannot afford their child to go to Everyone Active drowns? Will that be a price worth paying to keep a corporate business happy? You were all elected to represent the wishes of your electorate. The number of people here both today and on the 12th of June, despite the fact today England are playing, should give you a clear message that the electorate want our clubs to continue. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Councillor Ives is the chairman of the Policy and Resources Committee, and he now is invited to introduce his recommendation. Councillor Ives.
Just on the point of order, Chairman, I just should declare, I think, I'm not sure that we had declarations of interest, but just to declare to have been a customer of the swim club, I don't think it's prejudicial, but I'd feel better having said that.
Thank you very much, Councillor Bailey. In fact, I was actually looking at the, because I've brought it forward, normally we have a section in the meeting where we declare any interests. I think I will take on record that we have all been lobbied not wanting to jump the gun, but just to save people having to get up or to speak up. We're fortunate to have a number of county councillors on, and rather than have them worry about whether they should or not declare that interest, I will take that as read. Thank you, Councillor Bailey, for that reminder. Councillor Ives.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to put on record as well, as a declaration of interest, I do have family members who make use of the clubs. I believe it's a personal, non-prejudicial interest. So before I go on to give the mover speech, first of all, I will move the recommendations, which are a result of a report which came from the Scrutiny Committee, and I am, of course, happy to take any questions, Mr. Chairman.
Before we have a seconder... Well, we'll have that seconded now. Are there any questions for Councillor Ives? I beg your pardon. Councillor Clark.
Good evening, Chair. Good evening, everyone. In the Policy and Resources Committee, Councillor Ives, you said the council has probably got some negotiating to do with everyone active. I wonder if you could enlighten council as to what you meant by that.
So what I mean is we've got a partnership with everyone active, and they are our chosen providers to deliver the services at the pool. And I know a lot of people in this room may have strong opinions of everyone active, particularly on this issue, but what I will remind members is that if you look back to several years ago compared to how things were previously, everyone active have delivered quite significant investment within the facilities. So you've got, you know, a refurbished gym at Derwent Pool, a new gym at Rydale Pool, and they have also delivered quite a significant saving to the taxpayer as well, which allows us to continue to provide great services. Now, as part of a partnership, I am not in favour of beating up suppliers and hitting them with contracts. So I do think it's right that we have an honest dialogue with them, and as part of a partnership you do need to be honest, and I think we all acknowledge that this is a very important issue for us. And so what I aren't saying is, right, let's go and give everyone active more money, but what I am saying is we need to continue that dialogue and continue that partnership and that strong way of working, because I would not like to see a breakdown in relations, and I certainly don't believe it's heading that way. But perhaps what I should have used, Councillor Clark, is the word dialogue rather than negotiation.
Councillor Potter. Councillor Clark, you're supplementary.
thank you, Chair. A lot of information there but that wasn't relevant to my, but useful information nevertheless to my question. It was the word negotiations, because quite bluntly we spent a lot of time looking through everything, and the committee on, I think, 9 out of 10 was the lowest vote we had on any issue in the whole of that inquiry, was bluntly, there is nothing in the contract, there is nothing there that says anything about, other than leave it as the scrutiny review has said. Negotiations with everyone active, I would hope, would take part from the council on an ongoing basis. You can't work with a partner on an organisation providing that level of service and so on without having ongoing negotiations. My concern was that it was in reference to this scrutiny report. And could I remind you of the final recommendation of Overview and Scrutiny Committee that didn't come here because we can decide it ourselves. Overview and Scrutiny to take a greater role in scrutinising the performance management of the contract in line with the terms of reference for the committee. And it looked as though, I accept your word, but it looked as though there was a question about what we had done in relation to it. And I thank you for the response.
I have Councillor Potter next.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I actually have a question of the Chairman of Overview and Scrutiny, being as it's his report as well, and he's possibly answered some of the question I was going to ask. Given the implications listed at 7.0 of the report, did you, as Chair of Overview and Scrutiny, examine all the possibilities of how this could be handled, including contracts, legalities, etc.? Thank you.
That's the great advantage of having a member of the group that thinks on his feet, does his own questions, and catches you more by surprise than most of the members of the council. The 7 point, which, Michael, was it?
7.0,
the implications. Well, we looked at the financial implications, and we take on board what the swimming club said tonight, and we told us back in October, November, whenever it was, that what would happen to them in financial terms. And we looked at the contract and what everyone active said could happen to them in financial terms. And we looked at the financial costs in relation to the council and so on. We did all that as thoroughly as we possibly could, all 300 pages of the contract. There was nowhere in there that gave everyone active, as far as we could see, a monopoly on it, on the swimming lessons. And there was nowhere in there that told us that we should be having any negotiations with anybody, because all we were doing was carrying out what there was in the contract as we could see it. Now, I've accepted your wording of what you said tonight about negotiations and discussions or whatever, it would be fine. But we feel strongly as a committee that there was nothing to negotiate in relation to swimming lessons and costs and money and anything else from here on. And I'm looking round at my fellow members of scrutiny committee and hoping to get noddings or whatever. So on that basis, I hope, Councillor Potter, that answers your question. We've looked into it thoroughly and in depth. I hope, and by the way, it's not my report, it is Overview and Scrutiny's report, and I couldn't have got anywhere near this report without the work and support of that committee and the input of everybody else who kept putting information into us, particularly from the public. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Paul Andrews, your question.
I think it's been answered, Chairman.
Councillor Sanderson.
Thank you, Chairman. Councillor Clark, I noticed you say when you looked at the contract, you said, as far as we could see. I'd like to ask three questions, please. Do the Scrutiny Committee have any legal qualifications to advise on contractual matters? Was the advice of our legal officers sought? And if so, what was the advice? Thank you.
Chair, my writing isn't quite as quick as Councillor Sanderson's speaking. Could we have him again, please?
Happy to oblige, John. I said the questions were, do the Scrutiny Committee have any legal qualifications to advise on contractual matters? Was the advice of our legal officer sought? And if it was sought, what was his opinion, please? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. As far as I'm aware, we have no legal qualifications. But among the members of scrutiny, we have a lot of people with a lot of experience of looking through contracts and working out what means what. And if you can't find anything that finds there is a right to do something, then that's a fairly good start. We did then seek legal advice from the councillor's solicitors. And the councillor's solicitors were concerned in reference to whether or not there was competition from the swimming clubs and everyone active. There was a discount that the swimming clubs were doing it cheaper. And the council in the interim negotiations between the original tendering and the acceptance of the bid had looked at this and had written back to everyone active saying that this difference in pricing could be something that they could be looked at by everyone active. But that everyone active could come back to them if they wished to do anything within 1 year. Now, I'm not a lawyer, and nobody else on the committee is a lawyer, but I think we're fairly safe on what is a year. And on that basis, everyone active had not come back to us on the comparative charging, not the right to do it, the comparative charging between the clubs and everyone active. And on that basis, we are confident that what we've got is right. And just like anything else, if you say good morning, a barrister or a lawyer can challenge it. But if it is clearly before 12 o'clock, without any legal experience at all, you've got a reasonable chance that you will win whatever case the lawyers and the barristers wish to put against you. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Sanderson, your supplementary question.
Thank you, Councillor Clark, for clarifying that. Very, very interesting. I'm just wondering if it is perhaps where the chairman of scrutiny is actually coming from in his use of the word negotiation. That's what I was trying to get at. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, that's exactly where I thought the Chair of Policy and Resources may be coming from, and that is exactly why, having spent nine months going through it all, why we thought we didn't want somebody who thought it wasn't morning or hadn't spent the time and looking at how long of a part of the day it was that we had spent making a comment using the word negotiations. He has today made it perfectly clear that it would be discussions, but discussions in relation to everyone active and the working of the contract, not negotiations in relation to this, from what he answered earlier on. If he doesn't mean that, then I'd like to hear from him, and council ought to hear from him, but that was my understanding of what he said earlier. But we have, and it's an outside of the answer, but just for your benefit, Chair, we have got an amendment that we wish to move to the recommendations that have been moved by Councillor Ives, so as to make sure that we've got all this tidied up, and possibly so that we can, if there's any legal or barristers around and we are debating what time of day it is, we'll be able to bring in the full strength of the committee and the council, etc., as required, so that it is got right. Thank you, Chair.
I will make sure there are no further questions, in which case I will invite, it has been moved and seconded. Does anyone wish to speak in favour or against?
Thank you, sir. I'll just do the move of speech.
You'll move of speech first.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, first of all, I wish to thank everyone for attending this meeting today, and also thank you for your correspondence and communication over the past few weeks. I understand that this is a really emotive issue for many people, but this is why we've got a democracy. This is why you go out and vote for your local representative, to actually represent you when it comes to these issues. Now, like I said, we do operate in a partnership with Everyone Active, and there have been a lot of improvements over the past few years. We no longer have long waiting lists for the Everyone Active run swimming club. We've had the investment, and we've also had a reduction in cost to the taxpayer. And so whilst it may be tempting to start beating up Everyone Active tonight, I don't think that's helpful. But what I will say is, because we operate in a partnership, we can have that honest conversation. And if you look at the social value added by the clubs, it's absolutely enormous. The job you do is fantastic, and you have done a fantastic job for over 40 years. Hundreds of people have learnt to swim. And like you said, what's the cost of that? How many lives could have potentially been saved? And if the clubs were to close down, there's no guarantee that people would move to the Everyone Active run clubs, not only because of the increased costs, but also I think that the competition actually drives the right behaviour and creates better clubs on all sides. Now, we've got a dedicated group of volunteers who are really the lifeblood of the community. And whilst I'm sure that this issue has created a lot of uncertainty over the past few months, what it has actually done is highlight the tremendous value that you do day in, day out. You know, and I think that's to really be commended. So if there's one positive which has come out of all of this, is now we've got an opportunity to say thank you, and it's out there in the press, you know, the front page of the Gazette and Herald. Everyone can see what you do, and it is great. So I'm very happy to support this. I think Scrutiny have done an excellent job with this and looked at it, you know, with a fine-tooth comb over many months, and I very much thank them for that. But like I said, the real thanks tonight actually goes to the dedicated group of volunteers who do an amazing job. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. We can now move into debate. Does anybody wish to speak for or against or move an amendment? I have Councillor Clark first, who I believe wants to do an amendment. The amendment reads as such. 4. In the event of any negotiations to do with everyone active, no commitment or decisions will be taken without reference to overview and scrutiny and its relevant knowledge. Councillor Clark, would you like to speak?
Thank you, Chair. My seconder is Councillor Thornton. I was very tempted to alter the wording in the event of any discussions to do with EA, but I thought that was so restrictive that you would be back to the lawyers and the good morning position. So it really is a question if there's any negotiations in relation to what we've been discussing. I think, and I thank Councillor Ives for his kind words earlier on, and I'd like to support totally what he said about the swimming club. But he said twice about beating up EA. Now, I don't know where that comes from as a concept, because I haven't heard it from any member of the scrutiny committee, and I didn't hear it the other evening at PNR. Nobody is wanting to beat up EA or anybody else. What we are wanting to do is try and get a clear solution. He also said hundreds of people have learnt to swim. I think that's probably tens of thousands. It's certainly thousands, and I suspect it's tens of thousands. And the serious point, uncertainty over the last few months. I thought that till we started to look into it. And there's been uncertainty for the last couple of years. That's a lot of months. And there's been, I think this was the third report that had come to scrutiny, alluding to the taking over a monopoly into swimming lessons. And on that basis, it's 2 years plus, and might be, however, since the contract started. So what we're doing here is picking up what Councillor Ives has said about discussions and things. And yes, there will be ongoing discussions with a major partner like that. There's got to be. Daily, weekly, whatever. But what we're saying here is if there are negotiations in relation to this subject, then please come back to the scrutiny committee, because we have, with legal advice, but a lot of experience, looked into a lot of this, and therefore we ought to be consulted on it. Over a period of time, that expertise on the subject will probably wane. But at the moment, most members of the committee, and including those that are not on the committee now, have a lot of experience. We've talked to a lot of people, and we've got a fairly good handle on it. and that handle is the recommendations that we've got here before us tonight. And I would finally like to, and this is probably the easiest opportunity, thank the members of the Scrutiny Committee and thank the public. It's been useful to get to this point, but we just feel that this bit needs adding in to complete the circuit. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Thornton, do you wish to speak?
I'd like to reserve my right.
Councillor Lindsay Burr.
Sorry about that, I thought I'd already pressed that button. So, just to repeat that, the amendment for me is perfectly clear, and I am very happy to second it, Councillor Clark, or support it. I personally believe that as elected members, and that has been said tonight, it is our duty to ensure the contract financially is not increased. Now, Councillor Ives did comment about negotiations, and I think that negotiations, discussions are absolutely fine, but the word negotiations could be misconstrued, and the amendment clears up the doubt and it refers anything back to scrutiny. I think that we all will agree that scrutiny is a cross-party committee and has done an excellent job referring this to policy and resources, which was actually supported unanimously to be seconded and moved. So I would very much like to support this amendment. I think it tidies things up, and I think it would be foolish of us as elected members not to support it.
Councillor Paul Andrews.
Yes, Chair. I think this amendment is perfectly justified, particularly as we are a balanced council. And I think, therefore, as we are a balanced council, then the public should see that all members are involved in any decision-making process. And it's not just a decision of one particular political party or the person who happens to be the leader of that particular political party. We've all had this paper in front of us, Chair, and the legal position from what we've heard and from what we've seen and from what the Scrutiny Committee have been allowed to see suggests actually there's no legal case for the everyone opted to take over anything apart from what they've already got. And if everyone active did that, then unless they drastically reduced the service, they would actually end up by losing money, which suggests to me that the whole thing could indeed be a ploy to get more money out of the council. Now, I remember that when Rydell Leisure was running the contract, they always had difficulty in making income match expenditure, and they were always being knocked down by the council. Yes, they were bullied by the council, and as a result of that, they eventually decided that they would not bid for this contract. And so I do hope that we don't end up by being a council that starts treating organisations which are profit-making in a better and more favourable way than we do a not-for-profit organisation, which in that case happened to come out of our own council staff.
Councillor Joy Andrews.
Thank you, Mr Chairman. Councillor Clark and the Overview and Scrutiny Committee have committed a great deal of time looking into this matter thoroughly, and I was delighted that PNR supported their recommendations. However, I am slightly concerned about the recommendations as they stand, not what is written, but rather at what is not written. My reasoning being, I attended some of the overview and scrutiny meetings that dealt with this important issue. It was suggested that the council either pay compensation to the swimming clubs for loss of income so they could carry on providing their advanced lessons, or a substantial amount of money annually to everyone active to comply with their policy. This avenue of thinking has not been mentioned since, but my niggle turned to a concern at the policy and resources meeting when Councillor Ives mentioned in his summing up, and I quote, "The council has probably got some negotiations to do with everyone active, but this will happen." call me cynical, but I would hate to see negotiations between the council, whoever that might may be, being discussed with everyone active behind closed doors. The possibility of compensating everyone active would inevitably result in the hard-working people of Rydale having to subsidise their swimming lessons through their council tax, therefore negating all the hard work done by overview and scrutiny. This amendment would make this transparent to me, this council, and more importantly the public, that any issues or negotiations would be sent to and discussed with the body that has spent the last 6 to 9 months dealing with this. Therefore, I am fully supporting this proposed amendment and would hope that my fellow councillors will do the same. Thank you.
Councillor Potter.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Given what it says at 7.1b, legal, and I quote, potential breach of contract, I find that a little worrying, but I'm clear that any future decisions need close scrutiny from those with an understanding of this issue. So I would just like to point out that anyone voting against this amendment should realise that it will be a clear vote against close scrutiny by members. Thank you.
Councillor Bailey.
Thank you, Chairman. I just call me simple, but looking at what's recommended here, I think it's a really good solution. I'd like to speak in favour of the swim clubs, having had the experience of that. And I think where there is an element of competition or an element of choice, those are things that we should try and do. And my experience of the fact that those people are volunteers and the passion that they have for what they do certainly set my children off to be fantastic swimmers, and they've gone on to be swimmers since then. And it's something someone who's passionate enough to volunteer to do that has a value beyond what you can find in a contract. And so I really commend that. At the same time, we do have everyone active. We do have to slot those people into the facilities that we run. We have to make sure that we can maintain them. And I'm not against the amendment. If that needs scrutinising further, as a new member of scrutiny, I wasn't part of the review that did this, but I doubtless will be looking at it in the future. But also, I would remind Council that scrutiny does have the power to call in such decisions as it wants to, regardless of the amendment, and that's the whole purpose of having a scrutiny committee, is that they can call in the decisions that the Council makes and prevent them from going forward until they've done the review. And so that is built into our constitution, but if it needs reaffirming on this piece of paper, I'm not against that either.
If there are no more items of debate, I'll invite Councillor Clark to sum up. Councillor Thornton, I beg your pardon. I've missed you. Who have I missed? Councillor Thornton first. I missed you. You meet. Wave your hand about. Councillor Thornton, you're next, please.
Thank you, Chair. I was delighted to serve on this overview and scrutiny, looking into this, because we listened with some detail, not only to the swimming club, but also to everyone active. And obviously central to the whole consideration was, is there anything in the contract which gives everyone active the monopoly? So having listened to the views of both sides of the discussion, we then set about trying to discover if there was anything in the contract. And John Clark spent many happy evenings reading what he was given of the contract, finding nothing which gave a monopoly or a hint of a monopoly, and repeatedly asked the council solicitor if we could have any detail in the contract which gave the monopoly, and it was not forthcoming. And therefore it seems that from a legal point of view, it's highly unlikely that they would be able to prove a case that they are entitled to a monopoly. So then we move on to what could be the significance of this. if we don't give that monopoly that EA have asked for. And one of the suggestions, which obviously was considered, was, are we obliged to give Ever and Active a considerable sum of money, as it was described? It wasn't thought that it was necessary to do that because there was no monopoly in the contract. So with regards to sort of legal understanding, it seemed to be fairly straightforward. I would therefore be very concerned that there would be any negotiation about any consideration to Ever and Active for us making this decision, let alone how great that consideration would be. So I will support this amendment that those who have spent 6 to 9 months studying this in detail should be consulted about any such suggestion of recompense. Thank you.
I think I saw Councillor Oxley. Did I see Councillor Oxley wish to speak?
I've forgotten how to do this. Observations. We have a really, really good piece of work by Overview and Scrutiny, supporting and supported by local volunteers, that have come up with a very, very, very detailed piece of work and passed it on to Policy and Resources. Policy and Resources have picked it up, have taken on board what it says, have understood the background to it, and come forward with a very, very simple recommendation supporting what the members of the public, the swimming clubs, Overview and Scrutiny, and PNR actually want to do. I'm a little concerned, I understand why, but I'm a little concerned that we are yet again chasing fine detail, putting obstacles in the front of moving this forward, when what I suspect is there are nearly 30 of us all going to vote the same way on this because we're going to actually do what the members of the public who elected us wanted to do. So really why I stood up to talk is just to say it's time to move this. Can we please sort out this issue that may or may not simply be a misuse of one word or another, and can we move on? Because I have absolutely no doubt in my mind where the final vote on this is going. So why should we prolong it any longer?
Councillor Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do in some ways agree with what Councillor Oxley has said. I think that this probably will get the support of all councillors here, and I really hope that it does. Having said that, I think it would be a mistake to think that the motion tonight could be the end of the story. We don't know how Everyone Active might react to the motion if it passes as we expect. We don't know what their reaction might be and what might happen in afterwards. I think we need to make sure that we have some sort of process in place to make sure that if Everyone Active make contact with the council that we have a process there to be able to discuss this and make any decision that might need to be taken. And as a member of Scrutiny, now an ex-member of Scrutiny, like Councillor Thornton and Councillor Gardner, who moved on to policy, have kind of followed this through its three stages. We did do a lot of work of many months. We heard from Everyone Active, we heard from the clubs, and we heard from our own officers as well. And we debated not just the option that we've decided to do in the end, but all sorts of different options, including compensation for Everyone Active, including for potentially subsidies for the clubs as well. We reviewed all of those options. We came to the conclusion that we came to. We hope that that will be respected by Everyone Active, but I think we need to make sure that we do have something in place to make sure that if further matters arise on this, that we know where it's going to head. And I think that it heading to the Scrutiny Committee must be its first port of call, given the expertise and the discussions that we had over many months, probably too many months, and hearing from all of the parties that we heard from. I think that should be important. Councillor Clark's amendment to the motion perhaps is making clear something which is implicit in what the scrutiny committee actually decided, which was greater scrutiny for the contract as a whole, not just with regards to the swimming clubs, but all sorts of other things to do with the management of the contract. So I think this just makes that perfectly clear, and that if we do have contact for everyone active or whoever else, that we do have somewhere where it can head and be discussed first. Obviously, any discussion would then go through the normal procedure and go to policy and finally to here. So all members would have a say on that anyway. But I think to have a first deliberations and first discussions would be a very wise thing to do.
I haven't seen anybody wish to speak. Therefore, I'll ask Councillor Clark to sum up.
Thank you, Chair. I'll try and make it as quick as possible. Councillor Bailey is absolutely right that scrutiny committee can call in something that it, as it thinks fit, but bluntly calling in officers' discussions on what the officers did last week or the week before is probably too small scale. This covers any serious negotiations. So I think it's the reason for putting it in there is that. The reason for putting it in here, in fact, I'll go back to scrutiny has decided, which has a right to decide on its own and didn't need to go to PNR, overview and scrutiny to take a greater role in scrutinising the performance management of the contract in line with the terms of reference for the committee. And all this is doing is saying, yeah, we agree in relation to that contract it will happen. But I do like Councillor Oxley's comments. I think they are the best I've heard this evening. They are, Chair, impressive. That the word negotiations is just a word and not that important. And I can see that, but it gives me the image of in the church and the marriage vows being taken, and one of those taking the vow says, I will, I do, whichever. But it's subject to negotiation. Now, that's got all sorts of potential, but I'm not too sure how it would go down with one of the partners, other halves and families, and etc. So on that basis, it was the word negotiations. Councillor Ives has changed that to discussions, but then has left that if there were negotiations, and accepted his word completely. If there were negotiations, then this would cover it. And on that basis, can we call for a name vote on it? Because I think it is a very important issue to make sure that what scrutiny committee have decided goes through. Thank you very much, Chair. And thank you for all those who have taken part in the debate of the amendment.
Councillor Ives, as the mover of the original motion, would you speak?
Chair, could we have the vote on the amendment first, please?
It's the right to reply, Councillor Ives.
Sorry, I misheard you.
Thank you. So, I thought we would be coming here for a really positive debate this evening because actually, you know, it was clear what the direction of travel was at Policy and Resources. We firmly support the clubs and we are going to ensure that they continue for many years to come. Instead, we've probably spent a lot of time now debating some really minutiae, and actually, in many ways, this amendment is completely unnecessary because scrutiny have the power to scrutinise decisions. They don't need a mandate from full council to do that. No one is suggesting that we go and renegotiate because, you know, and give them compensation. If that was the case, an amendment would be coming forward this evening. But naturally, when you're in a contract that lasts many years, you do have dialogue and issues may arise, not relating to this, but relating to other things. And so, therefore, I've been listening to the debate and just thinking, what's really the point of this other than just creating a bit of noise, because actually scrutiny always has the power to scrutinise decisions. Let's actually get back to why we're here, which is because we're supporting the clubs, we're going to ensure that they continue, and we're going to move forward. And let's hopefully put this distraction to bed. Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
Well, I believe the amendment has been discussed in full. and I will now ask you to vote. Before we do, I'll reread it so that we all know what the amendment reads. In the event of any negotiations to do with Everyone Active, no commitment or decisions will be taken without reference to overview and scrutiny and its relevant knowledge. I would ask you to vote now, please. Councillor Genevieve, your microphone is on. You need to switch it off.
It used to be easier when we did it by hand, Chairman.
Whilst we're dealing with a technical problem, can I make a plea that we're not selling cattle here? I need to see hands waving. I can't take secret signals or bounce bids off walls. So if we're speaking, if you can make sure that I've seen you, and then you won't get missed. Thank you. If this isn't working, in order to get matters on, we'll have to do the vote by show of hands, please. Therefore, I propose that we...
And then you have to read it out.
Okay. Right, I will go round the room alphabetically. If you would please say yea, nay or abstain, and your vote will be recorded. Councillor Aikam is absent. Councillor Joy Andrews. Councillor Paul Andrews. Councillor Steve Arnold. Councillor Val Arnold. Councillor Bailey. Councillor Burr. Councillor Clark. Councillor Cleary. Four. Councillor Cowling. Councillor Cousins. Councillor Duncan. Councillor Farnell. Councillor Frank, Councillor Gardner, Councillor Goodrick, Councillor Ives, Councillor Janodine, Councillor Keel, Councillor Maud, Councillor Oxley, Councillor Potter, Councillor Raper, Councillor Sanderson, Councillor Shields, Councillor Taunton, Councillor Wainwright, Councillor Windrus. The result of the amendment, 26-4, none against, one abstention. The amendment is carried. The new substantive motion, which is the old motion with the addition of the amendment just being carried, we will now debate. Do you want to debate? Councillor Draper.
Shan't keep you long, Chairman. I voted for the amendment. I thought it was surplus to requirements, quite frankly. Everyone Active and the swimming clubs worked together to ensure a smooth transition pathway from Everyone Active lessons to club lessons. It's item 2 on the recommendations to us tonight. If that isn't simple enough, I don't know what is. We are going to speak with Everyone Active, or officers are, and if those bog down, hit a problem or a snag, then it will go back to scrutiny with this additional what we've just voted for. I can't see a problem with that. But we've got some negotiation to do. Someone has some negotiation. Someone's got to negotiate a pathway, and it's not necessarily going to be us. The clubs behind me are going to be involved in that negotiation, and Everyone Active. It has to be a collaborative agreement at the end of the day to make this thing work. I want to see it work. So I'm all in favour of the clubs having some sort of future in this area. Everyone Active has a policy that they provide the swimming. We don't have such a policy as a council, and I don't think the policy actually is reflected in the agreement that we currently have with Everyone Active in provision of leisure in our area. So I think there is room for manoeuvre and negotiation there, quite frankly, Chairman. I'm speaking in support of the eventual and what we've got on the agenda tonight in favour of that.
Councillor Cowling.
Thank you, Chairman. Just to say that I absolutely will be supporting this. My children learnt to swim with the swimming clubs. My grandchildren have all learnt to swim with the swimming clubs. The only thing that concerns me in all these recommendations is recommendation 3, which says that council will consider an incremental increase in the specified hire charge per hour to the swimming clubs. I think that needs watching very carefully. I wouldn't like to see the price jacked up to such a level that swimming clubs couldn't afford to continue.
I see no further hands. Councillor Ives, would you sum up? I do beg your pardon. I do have you on the list, Councillor Steve Arnold.
Thank you. I'm not going to support, stand up and argue for the clubs because I 100% agree. I think everybody's in agreement with here, and I think we should go straight to the vote.
We have the motion. We have the rules of debate. Councillor Clark, you're next.
Thank you, Chair. I think Councillor Roper has made it very clear to Councillor Ives and others as to why we needed that debate earlier.
We've had the amendment. Let's get on with the motion.
That, Chair, but the amendment is part of the motion as it now stands. And Councillor Ives was wondering why we needed to debate it. There is nothing in here that says about renegotiating anything. It is asking Everyone Active and the clubs to work together at the next stage beyond learning to swim, if I understand what we agreed. Councillor Cowling's concern in relation to the incremental increase, it says incremental, and that word was put in by Councillor Aikam, because freezing something for 15 years is grossly unfair to the organisations that are paying it. I'm old enough and ugly enough to have been alive when inflation was 15 to 20%. And on that basis, you have a few years of that, and the charges would be totally unreasonable. So they shouldn't be frozen for anything up to 15 years. But the bit we passed in the amendment saying any negotiations would have to covers that now, and the word incremental says don't bother us with some massive great increase. You know, don't come near us with a great big increase. Come near us with a small increase, and we suspect we would support that. But incremental is what we're telling you, and incremental is what we mean. Thank you very much, Chair. I didn't think I'd have to speak again, but I think those two issues needed clearing up.
Councillor Ives.
Thank you. I will be short, Mr. Chairman. I think we've turned quite a simple issue into quite a complicated one. The question before us this evening is, are we going to ensure that the swimming clubs continue? And absolutely, yes, we are. So let's get on and vote.
The matter has been discussed and debated. I will now ask you to vote by show of hands. This is the motion. It looks to be unanimous. That is unanimous. The motion is passed. Can I thank the members for debating with great heart? Can I thank the public for their attendance, not only today, but also at the Policy and Resources Committee, and also the very sound and useful information that they've forwarded to us for our information. We're now going to have a short adjournment to allow members of the public to leave if they so wish. 5 minutes will suffice. Thank you. Right, let's continue, shall we? Agenda item 3, public question time. There are no public questions. Agenda item 4, the minutes of the meeting of council held on the 12th of April 2018. They have been circulated. As Chairman of Council, I move that the minutes of the ordinary meeting of Council held on the 12th of April 2018 be approved and signed as a correct record. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Steve Arnold. Members, can you now vote for by a show of hands? We need a count for... That's fine. Well, we're voting four at the moment. If we can have a count four. That's fine. 24. Right. Have we got the numbers?
24 votes for, 3 abstentions, no votes against.
Thank you. There are people missing. Let's do it again. Let's please do it all at once. We're voting for the minutes to start with.
Chairman, why can't we do it electronically and then just ask Tariq which way he's going to vote?
Apparently it doesn't work that way, and we're doing it this way. It's worked in the past. Voting for. I realise that. We'll go through four first. People voting for can... I realise that. We're going to do against and abstentions afterwards. Have you got the numbers four? And now if you want to put your hands up, if you want to go against the minutes, you can show your hands now. And if you want to abstain, show your hands now. It's 21, 4 and 6. 21, 4 and 6 abstentions. If you're not here, you couldn't vote. Item 5. Item 5, urgent business. I have one... Are the numbers wrong? 21 and 20... It's 27. Are the 27 members present now? It doesn't need to be right. It's a 24 and 6 again. Attend 6 abstentions. People have left.
There were definitely 6 abstentions, so it's 24 and 6 abstentions.
There are 26 people present. There were 6 abstentions. That leaves 20 people for the minutes. Are we clear and happy? Item 5, there is one item up for urgent business to consider and notice on motion from Councillors Dykeel and Elizabeth Shields. I will deal with this at the end of the meeting. Item 6, declarations of interest. We have touched on that again, but I will repeat it for the benefit of the record, make sure nothing is missed. Do any members have any interest to declare under Members' Code of Conduct? I will take County Councillor's interest as read. Any other declarations? None. Agenda item 7, announcements. I have a number of announcements, principally congratulations of good news or good news of recognitions of good works. Firstly, to congratulate Peter Lawrence, who has been awarded an OBE for service to the families of missing people. I think everybody knows about Claudia Lawrence and we wish them well. It's good news on the back of bad news, but we wish to send them our congratulations. So William Worsley has been appointed to the government's as the government's tree champion. The government's tree champion, it has been in the news, representing the interests of forestry and trees. So William Worsley, and I'm delighted to announce, to send congratulations to Bramall Blenkarn, who have been awarded as a local employer, local firm of architects. I've done them exceptionally well in the local authority business building control wards. So congratulations to them. As a second type of announcement, we send our best wishes to Mrs. Daphne Hope, the wife of Councillor Eric Hope, who's been injured in a riding fall. So we send our best wishes to her. So moving on, agenda item 8, members' question on notice. Councillor Wainwright, you have a question.
Thank you, Chairman. Would Councillor Clark please inform members of the progress made by his scrutiny committee into the investigation of alleged bullying of officers at Rydale District Council?
Thank you, Chair. This question has caught me a little bit of a surprise. I wasn't really expecting it. But I am, Chair, very pleased that Councillor Wainwright is showing a continued interest in this subject, considering he had three opportunities to support it when his vote was required and he voted against us looking at into it on all three occasions. But from that background to asking at every council meeting what the progress is, I think that's commendable. The answer to his question specifically is that we looked at it, and they let him have the wording from the draft minutes, which brings him up completely up, and through you, Chair, Councillor, right, or Robert, this really brings you completely up to date, that members, and this is in relation to the staff survey, continue the scrutiny review into staff survey, into the staff survey results, and that we will be continuing the progress from now on. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Wainwright, do you have a supplementary?
Thank you, Chairman. Almost a year ago now, this council agreed to support this investigation with a sum of £10,000. We still don't know whether there was any bullying at this council or there wasn't any bullying at this council. Is it not time that we had a report that was available to us and that was available to all members so that we can either reprimand those that have been proven guilty, if that's what you may do, or we can offer an unreserved apology to those if there wasn't any bullying proved at this council? It seems very strange that two-thirds of this council, 20 members of this council, have no idea what's going on at your investigation, whereas your 10 members of the scrutiny committee have had the report. Is the only way left for me now is to make a Freedom of Information request to the council to find out where you've got to so far? Thank you, Chairman. And do you know the football score?
In terms of freedom of information, I think that the putting in a freedom of information request, despite the usual speed of officers on this council to produce information, probably wouldn't help you much with the football score, because by the time you got it, we'd either be have won the whole competition, even if it was done within the required 21 days, or we would have been out at the next round and we wouldn't know about it. So I think freedom of information request on that subject may be a little bit too slow. Robert, I wish this whole issue was as simple as you would like it to be. Let us look at the two possibilities. One, we have found bullying at Rydale Council. I don't think there is anything in the rule book that says what members can do in the, what you were saying, was it punish the people or
reprimand?
So you are suggesting that members go round reprimanding officers of the council. Now, I think that is a little bit outside the normal rules of local government, probably outside the code of conduct, and probably totally inappropriate in every respect that we could have. Could amount to bullying, yes, I suppose, have to take the thing round. So on that basis, the committee is at the stage of looking at how... Sorry, Chair, there was an interruption I couldn't quite hear from Councillor Frank. How we deal with it is just about as big a problem as finding if we have. And I would ask Councillor Wainwright to use his logic. If we're looking into how to deal with the report, which was his question at last full council, I said we were looking at the report and what action to take, etc. If we were doing that, it would seem likely that we've got something to look at. But then Councillor Wainwright's solution of reprimand somebody, I don't think would work. But I'm sure, if you give him time, Chair, Councillor Wainwright will be able to say how, in HR terms, code of conduct terms, legal terms, etc., how we go out and reprimand those who might have done this. And this is why, Chair, 3 years ago, I raised this subject with the Chief Executive in private, 3 years plus. 2 years ago, I started asking questions at full council and still got nowhere. If Councillor Wainwright had supported me at those points, we would have been at least a year, if not 2 years, further down the track now. And I would love to be in the position that he is wanting to be in terms of handling. And I wish him luck. I don't like being threatened, but I've no problem in putting the freedom of information request as often and as frequently as he likes. But it doesn't answer the question of how we deal with it and how we deal with it professionally. I hope that's probably a slightly fuller answer than Councillor Wainwright was expecting. And if he has a further question to come, I'd prefer him, for his sake, for the council's sake, and for the 13 members of scrutiny who've seen it, the three that were on scrutiny, and now the three new onto scrutiny, and the three new onto scrutiny have sort of blinked and gone, what? And on that basis, more than happy for any suggestions that he has to make as how we could speed things up. But it has to be done without officer support. We've got an external report, he's right. It is a serious issue, but please, rather than saying we shouldn't be doing it, tell us how we should be doing it, because I don't think you can go around reprimanding officers, if that is what is required, as simply and easy as that. I think you've got to decide how to handle it properly. Now, that's making an assumption in that. That assumption may or may not be right. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Wainwright.
Chairman, could I just come back by saying that reply is a bit like your reply to Councillor Ives earlier in the meeting. A lot of information there that wasn't relevant to the question I asked you. I'm just saying that I have four full council meetings left in my life here, and I'm going to ask you the same question every time until I get an answer.
I think we've heard as much as we need to. It is a big item from the chair. I look forward to hearing information as soon as we can, possibly. Is there anything you wish to add that's relevant or new information, Councillor Clark?
I wish to add that I would be surprised if Councillor Wainwright didn't do that, but I can't promise him whether or not I will be able to give him some more information, a lot more information, or the final answers at the next council meeting or the one after that. But I do promise him that overview and scrutiny is going at it as quickly as we can, and it is very interesting that his enthusiasm for this subject now is vastly greater than it was when this very serious subject was raised 2 to 3 years ago. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. Moving on. Agenda item 9, appointment of a Chief Executive. Would Councillor Ives please briefly introduce his recommendation?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I move the recommendation, which is outlined on pages 11 to 12 of your agenda papers.
Are there any questions for Councillor Ives? Councillor Paul Andrews.
Yes, Chairman. When the last Chief Executive was appointed, all members were given the opportunity of meeting the proposed new Chief Executive before they actually were asked to vote on her. Now, why is it that we were not given this same privilege this time?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If Councillor Andrews had wished to have spoke to the prospective Chief Executive, then it would have been helpful had you asked rather than just in the meeting now. Although I don't think it's helpful for members to do private interviews with the Chief Executive when there's actually a process which needs to be gone through.
I'm going to have to come back on that because that was not my question. My question was, why were members not given the opportunity to meet the Chief Executive at an informal gathering as happened the last time? I'm not talking about private meetings. Of course we shouldn't meet her privately, but members should have, in my view, should have had that opportunity, and I ask him why it wasn't given.
Because you never asked for it.
I believe it's also true that the decision was delegated, or the process was delegated. Is that correct? Are there any further questions to Councillor Ives? In which case, Councillor Ives, please move your recommendation, and once it is seconded, you may move your speech. Seconded by Councillor Steve Arnold. Does anyone wish to speak? Go on.
Just briefly, Mr. Yeah. Chairman. So we've been through quite a long process now that has seemed to have lasted a lifetime. I hope that tonight we can bring it to a conclusion and that this council can move forward into the future.
Does anyone wish to speak for or against the motion or propose an amendment? Councillor Paul Andrews.
I'm going to speak in favour of abstaining, Chairman. I haven't met this person. I don't know what she's like. I haven't got a clue. I'm in no position to vote for or against her.
Councillor Raper.
Thank you, Chairman. If you have a name, then you can Google, which I have done. It takes you over to a lot of places where this individual is known. especially on a site called LinkedIn, where you get a full profile of who and what this individual has done in the past, where they've come from, where they were educated, for instance. It gives you a very comprehensive picture of what that person is about, where they're educated and the sort of things and work they've done. And excuse the pun, but I hope she does a sterling job for us.
No more? Councillor Ives, would you like to sum up?
No, like I said, Chairman, I just hope that this council can now move forward.
Thank you. I believe that the matter has... Councillor Braper, would you turn your microphone off? Thank you. I believe that the matter has been discussed and debated. Would you now make your vote, please? By show of hands, four. Against, and abstain, one abstention. Four, one abstention, the motion is carried. Moving on to item 11, urgent business. There is one item of urgent business. Councillor Dykeel, please move your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The motion stands in front of you. You all should have copies of it. I would like to make comment, if I may, on the fact that this wasn't put in the proper place on the agenda as a motion, in the fact that it was in this building within the deadline, because it was delivered to this building at 5 o'clock on a Sunday evening and the deadline was 5 o'clock on Monday evening. It was rejected on the basis that it wasn't placed in the hands of the appropriate officer. The reason it wasn't placed in the hands of the appropriate officer is because I've been doing jury service for a fortnight and I couldn't come into the council in order to do that. But it was in this building and it was addressed to the appropriate officer. So I'm a little dismayed that it is not in the proper place on this agenda.
And it is in front of the council now, if you'd like to move the motion.
That's fine. Yes, I would like to move the motion as it is in front of you, and then I will speak on it once it's been seconded. Thank you.
Do we have a seconder? Councillor Shields.
I reserve my right to speak, Jim.
Thank you. The motion has been proposed and seconded. It automatically stands for referral to policy and resources under Council Procedure Rule 11.1. This will allow opportunity for an officer report to be produced in the implications and costs of the motion so that an informed decision can be made. Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Chair. So as to save council time in the long run, rather than put in a separate motion, I'd like to move the following amendment to go with it, but quite happy, as the mover and seconder haven't spoken, to not speak as well. And that is add four, on top of the 1, 2, 3 we've got there, to include the examination of recycling of food waste as agreed by the commissioning board. And Councillor Potter is my second.
I believe there's a point of order, Councillor Ives, you wish to say.
Several points of order here, Mr. Chairman. First of all, there's been an issue raised as to whether this is a motion or not, and you're taking it under urgent business. I believe that's the correct thing to do, given the circumstances. Although, if you're nitpicking, you could say it needs to be delivered to the proper officer as contained in 11.1 of the Constitution. But I do, respect the pragmatic approach that you've taken, and I think it's necessary on this occasion. Nevertheless, when we have a motion that's automatically stands as referred to the committee, the reason to do that is so it can be looked into, it can be scrutinised by the committee, and it can be amended if necessary. As chair of the Policy and Resources Committee, where this motion is heading, I'm very happy to consider what Councillor Clark is putting forward and sure that will be considered by the committee. But what we're essentially doing is one step before. We're getting it in reverse order. So I think the place for it to be done is at the committee, and it can absolutely be done there. Then it comes to the council. But for this council to do it before it goes to the committee is putting the cart before the horse.
Councillor Paul Andrews.
On a point of order, Chairman, what Councillor Ives may say may be right, but there's no reason why his committee shouldn't accept and note the effect that that is an amendment that that the committee would be asked to look into, together with the main motion. I can see absolutely no reason why that should not be done.
Taking Councillor Keel.
If it helps proceedings, Mr. Chairman, I'm more than happy to accept that amendment and for it to be incorporated into the motion. And just for a point of information, having discussed the theme of this motion with officers in advance of this meeting and in advance of submitting the motion, my understanding is that it is in Rydell's plan to be looking at food waste anyway, so I can see absolutely no reason why it can't go ahead with the motion straight to PNR. Thank you.
Well, I've taken advice and we're looking at the Constitution as it is written. The motion as delivered automatically goes through, and as we've as has been said by Councillor Ives and repeated, the addition, the amendment proposed, the content or the matter of that amendment will automatically be considered, will automatically be included in the report that will come back through PNR through to full council at some point in the future. Councillor Clark, you wish to say something?
Yes, Chair, I do. I've taken Councillor Ives' word earlier this evening. No problem at all. But now he wants to put this into a committee where he decides, his words were, I will consider it. And I'm not going to risk this being considered by Councillor Ives. And what I'm saying is, it's very simple, Chair. I have asked you whether or not this could be included alongside Councillor Keel's motion. It is late. It didn't arrive with a proper officer by 5 o'clock, but it's here tonight. And on that basis, I would have asked you, if you have it considered it as an urgent motion, to go in as well. But we won't worry about that, because we will be asking a question at next full council of Councillor Ives, and he can have not the usual 10 days notice. But as the chair of PNR, he is responsible for ensuring that what has been agreed by PNR and the commissioning board is carried out. And I will be asking him at the next full council what he has done since his time as chair of PNR to ensure that food waste collection is being done. Not looked into, now, done. So I don't mind which way around it. If you want to do it the awkward way, that's fine. Let's not take it tonight. Let's put it aside and we'll bring it back next time round. That's not a problem to me whatsoever. Thank you, Chair. I'll happily withdraw it.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. Councillor Burr, before you speak, Councillor Ryan, I will allow you to speak. I've been advised that Councillor Keel has indicated that she will allow that motion to be amended. Your amendment will automatically go forward by referral, and I think it's unfair of people who stand up speak on the hoof to be quoted. It will be in the minutes that this council has referred the item the material through for referral, and it's not just the chairman of any, I'm sure you're well aware, the chairman of any committee to decide one way or the other. It is for the full committee. So it will go forward. Councillor Burr.
He said he would consider it. He did not even say his committee would. However, if you are accepting it as part of Councillor Keel's motion, which Councillor Keel is, I don't see how or why Councillor Ives has been dragged into it. I'm perfectly happy to accept Councillor Keel's word that she will take it, this amendment that we've got as part of, as an amendment to and included in her motion.
I don't believe... Councillor Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. This is really, really disappointing. That this council used to fly the flag for recycling, for waste, everything. We were the leaders, and we've fallen substantially. There's been a huge outcry about waste and plastic, the environment. We've got a valid motion on the table. It is 8:10. Why can't we discuss it? Why can't we talk about it? Why has it got to wait months and months and months to go to P&R to be thought about or considered? I absolutely think it's atrocious that we're not actually saying, and you as a new chairman could have said, well, I believe it's worthy of bringing it forward. And I'm really disappointed that, you know, the environmental aspect of this has really gone, sunk to the lower bottom of the trough for this. So... very disappointing.
I'm sorry that I have disappointed you. I've brought this forward. It is a subject close to my heart. I would prefer to debate it with full information. As per the Constitution, it will go through a report, through to PNR for a recommendation to this full council. All of the members of this council, I have little doubt, are fully interested and fully wanting to take this matter forward. I think to do it without full information, without the benefit of looking at the Constitution, would be wrong. Does anybody else wish to speak on this matter now? Councillor Keel.
Yes, I'll be brief, because I'm sure everybody, the bags are going and everybody wants to go home. My understanding of the way that this council does business is that people bring motions to the council, and they have been in the past... without that full officer report, without that full information, they have been debated. This is an issue that people out there feel really strongly about. You know, it's been all over the media, David Attenborough, you can talk about all that. But it's an issue that people have brought to us. And I just think, you know, I've been told this week in a letter from this council that council members should take the lead on things and you know, lead by example. This is a bid to lead by example, and it's a bid for this council to lead by example. And we're not being allowed to do it, and it's been delayed. And I share Councillor Burr's frustration. We need to move this forward as quickly as possible, because it is so pertinent to the current climate.
Councillor Ives, and I have Councillor Paul Andrews.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To slightly go back on what I said earlier, just having reviewed the Constitution now, I wish to refer members to procedural 13.7a, which states, a member may alter a motion of which she or he has given on notice with the consent of the meeting. The meeting's consent will be signified without discussion. I therefore stand corrected, and if Councillor Keel is wishing for that amendment to come forward, which Councillor Clark has suggested. So I don't think Councillor Clark can move the amendment now, but if Councillor Keel is saying that she wishes her motion to be amended, and this meeting consents to that, I think that is what could go to policy and resources.
I believe we've already got to that stage, but for the matter of absolute positive recognition for the meeting, I'm happy to confirm that Councillor Keel has assented to that. And I think, looking around, unless there are people going against that wish, we have consented for it to go through. Councillor Clark. Yes, I do beg your pardon. Councillor Paul Andrews first. I'm sorry, Councillor Clark.
Yes, Chairman. I wish to propose a motion that standing orders be suspended so that this debate can take place immediately. I do believe I have a seconder.
We can go straight to the vote to suspend standing orders by a show of hands. No, we go straight to the vote to suspend standing orders. No, we're going to suspend standing orders or not by a show of hands before we go any further. All those in favour, please show. Those against? Anybody abstain? So the motion is lost. We will not suspend standing orders. We will wait for the full information. And as I've said, you know, it is a matter close to my heart. Indeed, the County Council, which runs the recycling, is happy to show, and I'm willing and I'm anxious to show, get more information. Through the County Council, they have offered to show people how they deal with recycling, and maybe we can organise that as part of the report. We need full information to make a proper decision on this matter. I am anxious as everybody to get this moving, but we must do it in the proper way. Thank you.
Chair, I was...
Councillor Clark.
Thank you. Very simple and straightforward. Councillor Ives said it wasn't an amendment if Councillor Keeler had accepted. It is. And that what he actually read out was that an amendment could be accepted. I have proposed the amendment. It has been seconded. And on that basis, and Councillor Keeler has accepted it. You have then said it will go forward to that. I'm just showing it so the record is clear that it is our amendment and that Councillor Keel has accepted it, and I expect the minutes to show that. Thank you very much.
By our amendment, do you mean the Liberals, or by your amendment, Councillor Clark?
I mean Councillor Clark proposed and Councillor Potter seconded, which is what was said at the beginning.
I think we have got the gist of what you're... the absolute meaning of what you've said. I think we've discussed that.
I have a copy here. I set off to bring it up to you, Chair.
Thank you. It will be included as part of the minutes. I think we've discussed this fully, yeah, as much as we can at the moment. And that brings us to the end of the meeting for this evening. Thank you for your attendance. The meeting is done.